In Los Angeles, I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Rizdahl. Here today to talk about the big news of the week, Sandeep Reddy of The Wall Street Journal and Catherine Rampell of The Washington Post. Hey there. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Molly.
Hey, Molly.
So I want to start by talking about college tuition and the industry of education. The state of Washington this week announced major tuition cuts, which is maybe the first time we've ever seen that in the country. Also, new rules for for-profit colleges have gone into effect. Sandeep, what do you think that this says about the idea of education as a business?
We're certainly learning a lot about what the flaws are for having higher education as a for-profit industry. Some of the for-profit schools actually do provide a useful service, so we have to keep that in mind. But so many of them have been built on the easy ride of student debt, have been able to take advantage of young people who think this is an easy way to get in and get skills, when in reality, this whole model of education that we have, higher education, needs to be disrupted. And a lot of higher education operates like the internet was just created yesterday. And we're going to have to see us move well beyond that and adopt new technologies to adapt to the kind of economy we have today.
And Catherine, I feel like we've seen so many attempts to disrupt education, and it's such an entrenched institution. Do you think that's even possible?
We have seen some major developments in terms of MOOCs, you know, the massive open online courses. I think that's what it stands for. I think the real challenge is figuring out quality because, you know, online classes have been around for quite a while. And in the eyes of many employers, if there's no other objective measure you want to look at, they're not worth very much a lot of the time. So we may see disruption, but without some better information about whether the skills that students are learning through these new business models are actually worth anything, you know, it's very hard to say.
Mm-hmm. The outcome question becomes huge. Mm-hmm. Moving on to other big news of the week, Whole Foods yesterday, its co-CEOs actually apologized for ripping off customers, mislabeling certain packages, in some cases underpricing groceries, but in most cases overcharging, as you might imagine. But Catherine, I feel like things like slack fill are increasingly common across the industry. I mean, how will this affect sort of the industry overall? Whole Foods is going to bring in third-party auditors now. Is this a big deal?
It seems like a big deal if you're a consumer. I mean, I think with Whole Foods, it already has a reputation for being very expensive. You know, Whole Paycheck is the nickname for the store. So I think that a lot of people might become even more cynical about that brand in particular. But probably this mislabeling issue is not exclusive to that particular brand. And I do wonder if consumers will start paying much more attention to the weights and labels on their packaged goods.
There's always going to be, Sandeep, right? That person in line with the scale.
There is. But when I saw this news, I just couldn't believe it. Whole Foods, for once, apologized for their prices.
Yeah.
At least we can take that as some kind of development. Look, anybody who shops at Whole Foods knows they're not going to the dollar store. So you know what you're getting. But it is kind of amazing that for all the technological advancement we've had in pricing, in commerce, in grocery store procurement, that we still have something like this going on. And given all of the possibilities of grocery delivery and what we're seeing there, this is going to have to develop sooner so that people don't get unwittingly ripped off at the grocery store.
Yeah, but I personally want to play that gif of them apologizing over and over and over, basically every time I check out.
Absolutely.
And then also in the news this week, you saw this report about Uber reportedly operating at $500 million loss. We don't know that much about those numbers, but Catherine, what did this report suggest to you?
It suggests that Uber is able to continue its massive efforts to hire tons and tons of lobbyists and, you know, blanket the world in a pro-Uber campaign, largely because they're getting a lot of funding, you know, not because they're making a lot of money at this point, it seems. Mm-hmm. So they can afford, you know, makes sense for them to continue losing money for a little while if it gains them market share.
Yeah, Sandeep, how is this, you know, if indeed these numbers are accurate currently, how is this different from somebody like Amazon, who arguably doesn't turn a profit, reinvests every penny?
Well, they're trying to do the Amazon play here of become really big, become really powerful, and look for the profits down the line. So it's not that surprising. They're obviously swimming in VC money, and they're hoping to build something that can survive once the music stops. We all know that the music is going to stop, and they are obviously the big player in this space. So they perhaps will have the best shot, even if they are operating at a loss.
All right. Uber is the next Amazon. You heard it here first. Thanks, guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks, Molly.
Thanks, Molly.